Hi there and welcome to another Osler podcast. My name's Todd Fraser and I'm here with another episode from the 21st Annual ANZIC CTG Conference from Noosa, Australia. With me today is Leanne Chappell. Leanne is a postdoctoral research fellow at the Royal Adelaide Hospital in South Australia and is the project manager for the Target Protein Feasibility Study. Leanne, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
So this study is looking at energy and muscle mass loss. Now, muscle mass loss is very common in critically ill patients. What's the pathology that's going on with muscle mass loss in critical illness?
At the moment, I guess we don't really know what's happening. So it's only really been described in the last few years that these patients do experience such significant amounts of loss and really early on in their ICU stay. So we're not really sure whether that's related to the amount of nutrition they get, if it's the immobilization. There have been some bed rest studies in healthy volunteers that have shown that they lose muscle but nowhere near as much as an ICU patient does. So whether that's medication related or just part of the injury, it's hard to tell at the moment.
So what does the, it makes intuitive sense, of course, that if you are losing muscle mass, then you're going to have functional changes as well. Yep. What's the evidence around that?
Yeah, so there have been some studies that have correlated muscle loss and things like hand grip strength in an ICU population. Most of our data tends to come from other groups, though. It can be very difficult to get functional outcomes from ICU patients. So there's very few studies that have really followed patients up and looked at the amount of muscle that they've lost and then correlated that to functional outcomes. But as a separate population, we know that these patients do have problems with functional recovery and lasting, up to 5 years after they leave ICU.
What do we know about the degree of muscle mass loss that people have in this sort of scenario?
Yeah, so for patients who are mechanically ventilated for more than 7 days, they lose about 20% of their quadricep muscle in the first 10 days of ICU admission. So the quadriceps tends to be the muscle that we measure because it's the biggest muscle group, and you can measure it using techniques like ultrasound that can be done at the bedside.
Now, you also measure diaphragmatic muscle loss too, I think, don't you?
Yeah, so I've never done that. It's probably something that the physios are more interested in from a ventilator point of view, but my main focus has been quadricep muscle and then a couple of points on the arm as well to try and give a whole body sort of measurement. But, there's multiple different ways that you can measure muscle.
Now, your study is a sub-study of the Target trial, and it's looking at, of course, the delivery of energy and how that impacted on patient outcomes.
That's right.
How would energy delivery improve the rate of protein loss in a critically ill patient?
Yeah, I guess energy on its own might not necessarily improve muscle loss, but protein without energy is going to be difficult to actually be used for that source. So if you're not getting enough calories, then all the rest of the bodily functions are going to come out of that protein source. So I was anticipating that the patients that got enough energy could then use that protein that they've been delivered more effectively to reduce the amount of muscle they lost.
So if they're utilising protein for energy, then increasing the energy delivery might prevent that loss.
That's right.
Right. And so tell us about the study and how you went about it.
Sure. So this was a study that I conducted just at the Royal Adelaide Hospital. We recruited anyone that was randomised into Target. So for this study, we needed a next of kin consent, whereas Target was an opt-out process. So we had 80 patients that we recruited for the sub-study where we could conduct a measure and actually get next of kin consent within 48 hours of them being randomised to Target. We followed them up every week from randomisation until they left hospital, or up to 60 days of them being here. And then we tried to get them to come back 3 and 6 months later as well. So we collected information on using ultrasound. We did quadricep, midarm and forearm muscle thickness. We looked at cross-sectional area of the rectus femoris. I have these ultrasound data to then go back and look at things like fat layer and echogenicity as well. And then I also did some bioimpedance measurements, which uses a small electric current to measure differences in tissue, so it can give you a lean body mass versus fluid amounts.
What were the outcomes? What did you find?
Sure. So at the moment, it's very preliminary results. Mm-hmm. So I've analysed the quadricep muscle layer thickness to begin with, mostly because that's the measurement that was probably the easiest to get. So we've got the most complete data set for it. And it was our primary outcome. So we found that all both the groups, the 1 kilocal and the 1.5 kilocal per mil feeds from Target, both lost a significant amount of muscle, particularly early in ICU. And by IC discharge and hospital discharge, that was still lower than their baseline measurement. But there was no difference between the two groups. So particularly at IC discharge, the amount of muscle wasting was similar between the two groups, with calories not making any significant difference.
So is this a difficult thing to measure in an ICU context, to standardise your results and so on?
Yeah, I think while the patient's sedated, it's a relatively straightforward measurement to do, provided that you've got 15 minutes where they're in bed. Once they're awake, it was much more difficult. So particularly in that early phase when they're, you know, waking up from sedation and they're quite confused, it was a difficult measure to get. And so you do get a bit of loss to follow up, I guess, with those measurements.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
If I did the study again, I would be very much more focused on the early time period, particularly while the intervention was going. So I followed these patients up after Target had finished,
yeah,
to look at the longer term effects of that early nutrition. But these patients only got, you know, the median length of feeding duration was 6 days. And so for me, that would have only been 2 ultrasound measurements, if that. So
yeah.
I think a shorter period of measurement would have been, I guess, yeah, more relevant in hindsight.
What sort of functional outcomes do you measure in studies like this?
Sure. So for my study, I looked at hand grip strength. Mm-hmm. So I measured that in hospital as soon as the patient was able to complete that measurement. And then at 3 and 6 months, I completed some walking tests. So there's one called a get up and go test, which looks at how quickly they can stand up and walk around a cone and sit back down.
Yep.
And a 6-minute walk test, so how far they can walk around a 30-metre sort of length within 6 minutes.
Yeah. Now, you're based at the Royal Adelaide, of course, so yes. I would imagine your catchment area is fairly large. How challenging was it to complete follow-up in those patients?
So I tried to time the measurements when they were coming back for other appointments.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of helped with our catchment. We do have a lot of patients that obviously couldn't come back, and it's hard to know whether they were the ones that were back at work and so had other things on, or if they were the sick ones that couldn't make it back.
Yeah.
I was surprised some of our volunteers drove 6 hours to come and do a walk test. So, I think, you know, these patients do a lot for research, and I was impressed by how many people we did get back.
Yes, I'm sure. Yeah. Now, just finally, where does this study fall in the landscape of similar studies? How does yours compare with other studies in this area?
Sure. So this is the first study that I'm aware of that actually looks at body composition and functional outcomes conducted as part of a randomised double-blind control trial. So I think that it's... gives a lot of new evidence that maybe early enteral nutrition in terms of energy or calories may not have the impact that we expected it to, both on mortality from the primary outcome but also on body composition. And so I think the next step is then looking at protein, and we have a bevy of studies looking at both the mechanisms behind muscle wasting but also augmented protein delivery in this patient group.
What's the next step in that phase of research for you?
So we're about to start Target Protein, a feasibility study. So that's 120 patients randomised to receive either 63 grams of protein per litre or 100 grams. So those feeds will arrive in the country in the next month, and we're starting up at 8 sites around Australia and New Zealand. And hopefully that will lead on to a full Target Protein study, very similar to Target.
Fantastic, Leanne Chappell. Thanks very much for your time on the podcast.
Thank you.
This concludes another episode of the Osler Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For more great interviews just like this, visit our website at osler.force.com.